The Nine Attributes of the Buddha by Sele Susila. Part 2, Chapter 4. Sugato, Well Gone. Su in Pali means right. Gato means has gone, has come. Sugato means has gone rightly or gone the good way. Before discussing has gone rightly, let's talk about the phrase has come rightly. It is good to understand that even the Bodhisattva was reborn repeatedly into the suffering of samsara in order to fulfill the 10 perfections, paramis, with the goal of attaining full enlightenment and omniscient knowledge, so as to help all beings become free from suffering from the ocean of samsara. Gradual and disciplined purification is important to walking the path. The Buddha's journey of practice to perfect the 10 paramis. Before the 4 incalculable aeons and 100,000 great aeons, the Buddha-to-be was reborn as a young man whose name was Sumedha. When Sumedha was very young, his parents passed away, leaving their sizable fortune to him, an inheritance that was amassed over 7 generations of ancestors. Rather than just assume the inheritance, Sumedha pondered, quote, "Birth, aging, sickness, and death are suffering. If there is a cycle of rebirth, which is the root cause of suffering, there must be the bliss of freedom from suffering. I will search for the path to the cessation of suffering. My parents and 7 generations of my ancestors were quite skillful in accumulating their fortune, but when they died, they could not take anything with them, not even a single penny. So what benefit will this money bring to me?" End quote. Having considered the pros and cons of accumulating and inheriting wealth, Sumedha opened his treasury and joyfully and equanimously donated all of his acquired treasure. He then left for the Himalayas to begin a life as an ascetic. After practicing for 7 days, he had attained all the 8 jhanas and the 5 mundane psychic powers. On one occasion, Sumedha used his psychic power to fly in the sky. He noticed that the people in Ramanagara were happily repairing the roads. Returning to the ground, he asked them, "Why are you so happy repairing the roads? And for whom are you doing so?" They answered, "The lamp-bearer Buddha, Dipankara Buddha, who is respected by the 3 worlds, is coming, and we are preparing the roads to welcome him." Hearing the name of the Buddha, Sumedha became joyful. He at once asked to be allowed to repair one part of the road. Even though Sumedha could have used his psychic powers to do the work, he did not resort to this approach. Instead, with his own 2 hands, he repaired the road so that his meritorious deeds would be perfect. Before Sumedha could finish his work, Dipankara Buddha and his many Arahats disciples arrived. The body of the Buddha radiated rays of 6 colors, and his body was shining like pure gold. Sumedha gazed at Dipankara Buddha, who possessed the 32 marks of a great man, and he thought happily, "Today I shall offer my own life to the Buddha by allowing the Buddha and his Arahat disciples to tread on my body. Using my body as a bridge for the Buddha and his disciples will certainly result in limitless happiness and merits for me." Then he lay down on the muddy ground with full salutation. At that time, an aspiration to be a Buddha arose in ascetic Sumedha's mind. Quote, "Actually, today I can reach the state of arahatship to set myself free from all suffering, but I am an extraordinary person. If I do it selfishly, only thinking of my own liberation, is there any benefit for all beings? I will, with all my effort, attain full enlightenment, and then I will set all beings free from the cycles of rebirth." End quote. Out of his incomparable compassion to all beings, the ascetic Sumedha gave up his chance of becoming an arahat at that very moment, and instead chose to postpone it, making an aspiration to tread the path of the Bodhisattva, which was a very difficult journey to take. He vowed, quote, "Buddho boheyam, tino tareyam, muto mocheya." "Once I understand the 4 noble truths, I will teach others to understand them. Once I succeed in crossing the swirling ocean of samsara, I will also help them cross it. Once I am free from the bondage of life, I will also set others free from it." When the ascetic Sumedha had made such an aspiration, a girl, whose name was Sumita, was beside him. Attracted by him instantly, she handed him 5 of the 8 lotus flowers she was holding. She offered the remaining 3 to the Buddha. Sumita also made an aspiration. Noble ascetic, at the time when your journey to perfect the paramis, may I be your companion. Seeing Sumedha and Sumitha, Dipankara Buddha used his psychic power to see their future lives and made a prediction. After passing 4 incalculable aeons and 100,000 great aeons, Sumedha would become fully enlightened with the name Gotama. Sumitha would accompany him throughout many lifetimes. She would fully support him to attain enlightenment. In his last birth, Sumitha would be the Bodhisattva's wife. Yosudhara would be one of his great female disciples and would attain arahatship. Then Dipankara Buddha left, without stepping on the body of Sumedha. After Dipankara Buddha was gone, Sumedha stood up joyfully and thought, "If I have aspired to be a Buddha, where should I start?" After contemplating the matter, Sumedha realized that to be fully enlightened, an aspiring bodhisattva should practice and fulfill the 10 perfections, paramis. Following in the Buddha's footsteps, let us look at the 10 perfections and how we can understand and put them into practice. The 10 perfections, paramis. 1. The perfection of giving, dana parami. The perfection of generosity is mentioned first among the 10 perfections. As we read in the definition of dana given by the commentary on the Vinaya Pitaka, Basket of Conduct. Characteristic, relinquishing, function, to dispel greed for things that can be given away. Manifestation, non-attachment, or the achievement of prosperity and a favorable state of existence. Proximate cause, an object that can be relinquished. The perfection of giving practiced by the Bodhisattva is not the same as ordinary giving, which is commonly done through giving away material things, such as alms food, robes, and so on. What a Bodhisattva practices is supreme giving, which is also called great renunciation, Maha Parichaga. There are 5 kinds of great renunciations: giving away all of one's belongings, giving away one's royal throne, giving away parts of one's body, such as hands, legs, eyes, and so on, giving away one's children and wife, and giving away one's life. Such giving is practiced to loosen the grip of greed and to develop non-attachment of every kind. There are no strings attached and no expectations of thanks or hope of reciprocation, but acts are performed simply to fulfill the perfection leading to full enlightenment. Such giving also develops virtue and leads naturally to the perfection of virtue. 2. The perfection of virtue, sila parami. Characteristic, composing, coordinating, and establishing. Function, to dispel moral depravity, to achieve blameless conduct. Manifestation, moral purity. Proximate cause, shame and moral dread. The Bodhisattva strictly adhered to performing virtuous acts by body, speech, and mind. He performed wholesome and virtuous deeds, avoiding unwholesome deeds, speech, and thoughts, and would have rather sacrificed his life than compromise his morality. In one life, the Bodhisattva was born as a powerful Naga king, but was disgusted with his body. Therefore, the Naga king went to the human world with the determination to observe the 8 precepts, hoping the merit acquired by undertaking morality training would pave the way to a heavenly rebirth in a future life. One day, as the Naga king saw a snake catcher walking toward him, he made a vow. "Today, even if the snake catcher crushes my body, I will not allow anger and hatred to arise in me. I will not allow my morality to be broken." Then the Naga king coiled on the mountain hill motionlessly, observing the 8 precepts. The snake catcher approached the Naga, caught his tail, dangled him upside down, shook him until he vomited, and then, pinning his body to the ground, used a stone to crush his head. Even under such torture and suffering, no hatred arose in the Naga king. The Naga king thought, "My breath is so poisonous. If, because of pain, I blow out my breath, this snake catcher will be burned to ashes, and I will break my precepts." The Bodhisattva endured the torment quietly and observed sila parami with great determination, even though he had to sacrifice his life. 3. The perfection of renunciation, nekama parami. Characteristic, departing from sense pleasures and existence. Function, to verify the unsatisfactoriness they involve. Manifestation, withdrawal from them. proximate cause, a sense of spiritual urgency, samvega. Renunciation means leaving behind mundane sensual pleasures that bind us to the world, and instead electing to live the holy life. It also refers to suppressing the five hindrances through meditative concentration. In many of the Buddha's past lives, he was born as a king who enjoyed mundane sensual pleasures. However, he clearly understood that mundane sensual pleasures were temporary and impermanent, and bound those who got attached to them. Therefore, he was not in any way hesitant to leave behind his royal kingdom, to leave the luxurious life he had, and to live the life of a homeless ascetic. In the story of King Nimi, Nimijataka, we learn that the king told his barber, "If you happen to see a single strand of gray hair on my head, let me know." Once, when cutting the king's hair, the barber saw a strand of gray hair. He plucked it and put it in the king's hand. Looking at the gray hair, the king was shocked and became very frightened, feeling as if the god of death was approaching him. He hurriedly abdicated his throne and went instead to live a life of renunciation. Ordinary people would think in a different way. When we see a gray hair on our head, our first thought is to color it to make ourselves look younger. But running away from the reality of aging will only cause more clinging. The Bodhisattva had a different point of view about this. He contemplated impermanence and, seeing things as they really are, courageously abandoned the home life to walk the path of an ascetic. 4. The perfection of wisdom. Panya Parami. Characteristic: penetrating the real specific nature of Dhammas, or sure penetration like the penetration of an arrow shot by a skillful archer. Function: to illuminate the objective field like a lamp. Manifestation: non-confusion like a guide in the forest. Proximate cause: concentration or the Four Noble Truths. The Venerable Pa'ok Sayadaw describes the perfection of wisdom in Bodhisambhara, the requisite of virtues to attain full enlightenment, as below. Quote, "Without wisdom, a donation and other virtuous deeds cannot be purified, and they cannot function as they have to. It is just like the body which, when deprived of life, does not shine anymore. Without the mind, the sense faculties cannot do their work. In the same way, if there is no wisdom, faith, and the other spiritual faculties cannot function as they should, wisdom is the major cause for the practice of the paramis. Just like the Supreme Bodhisattva, when wisdom was aroused, he offered his limbs and other body parts, and yet did so without judging that he was superior and the receiver inferior. The Bodhisattva is compared with medicinal herbs that give health, but have no expectation to receive anything in return. The Bodhisattva gave joyfully in the three periods, before, during, and after giving. A wise person, owing to his or her wisdom and skill, gives away his or her own pleasures for the benefit of others. This kind of deed is called paramis. But if one gives with the intention of seeking some sort of profit, then it is comparable to a commercial transaction. Further, without wisdom, virtues cannot cut off sensual craving and other mental defilements, and the mind cannot be purified, let alone achieve the purity of a Sama Sambuddha. Only the wise can see clearly the suffering of home life, the suffering of sensual pleasures, and the suffering of the cycles of rebirth. At the same time, the wise one can see clearly the benefits of renunciation, the benefits of developing jhana, and of developing the path. Therefore, he leaves home, develops jhana, develops the path to nibbana, and also helps others to achieve it. Without wisdom, because of improper motivation, self-development cannot reach the ultimate goal. However, if self-development is accompanied with wisdom and skillful effort, nothing is impossible. Moreover, only the wise can subdue anger. An unwise person reacts aggressively when not treated well, but the wise makes use of the power of patience to skillfully face such situations, and consistent practice in this way strengthens patience." End quote. Over countless cycles of rebirth, the Bodhisattva was not only reborn as a wise businessman, a wise king, a wise man, and an animal king, but in many lives he was also born as an ascetic who purified himself by practicing virtues, morality, and was diligent in concentration meditation, the four jhanas, four immaterial attainments, and five supernormal powers. When he had the good karma to be born in the time and in the presence of a Buddha, he was diligent and determined to cultivate and develop himself. With the support of concentration, he developed insight meditation and was able to clearly see the characteristics of the five aggregates of clinging, impermanence, suffering, and not self, and reached the stage of insight known as the knowledge of equanimity about conditioned formations. 5. The perfection of great effort. Vidya Parami. Characteristic, striving. Function, to fortify. Manifestation, indefatigability, an occasion for the arousing of energy. Proximate cause, a sense of spiritual urgency. The Bodhisattva considered the Virya Parami as follows. Only a person who, with great effort, reaches full enlightenment is then able to help others to be free from the endless swirling of samsara. The effort of the Bodhisattva is like a lion king hunting for a rabbit or an elephant. He will not use less effort because a rabbit is a small animal, nor will he use maximum effort because an elephant is large. Whatever task the Bodhisattva undertakes, he undertakes each and every one of them in the same way. In Mahajanaka Jataka, the story of Mahajanaka, the Bodhisattva was once in a boat with 700 passengers. On the voyage, they experienced high winds and pouring rain. When the boat was about to wreck, the passengers all cried desperately. Only the Bodhisattva was calm, thinking, "I am a wise and courageous man. It is not my habit to give up and cry when facing difficulties. I have to be brave and courageous, use my own two hands to swim, and save myself." Though it was extremely difficult, the Bodhisattva swam with full effort for 7 days and seven nights, with energy not slackening even for a moment, until finally, touched by his great effort, a sea god saved him. 6. The perfection of patience. Kanti Parami. Characteristic, acceptance. Function, to endure the desirable and undesirable. Manifestation, tolerance or non-opposition. Proximate cause, seeing things as they really are. Patience, Kanti, is self-control, enduring the suffering caused by others without giving into anger. In a previous life, the Bodhisattva was named Kantivadi, a practitioner of supreme patience. At the invitation of the commander-in-chief of the kingdom of Kasi, the Bodhisattva lived in the minister's royal garden. One day, when the Bodhisattva was meditating peacefully, the drunken king Kalabu, accompanied by his harem, arrived at the park. Soon the king fell asleep. The women of the harem, who had taken the opportunity to wander around the garden, saw the ascetic sitting peacefully under a tree. They approached and asked him to teach them. When the king woke up and found that the women were with the ascetic, ill will arose in him and he flew into a rage. He was tempted to kill the ascetic. The king then asked, "Ascetic, what doctrine are you preaching?" The Bodhisattva answered, "The doctrine of patience, Your Highness." The king asked a second question, "What is patience?" The ascetic answered, "Patience is not to be angry even when others insult, abuse, and strike you." The king then said, "If that is so, then I want to see how patient you really are." The king then instructed his executioner to lash the Bodhisattva 100 times. The Bodhisattva's skin was frayed and bled excessively. The king asked again, "Ascetic, what doctrine are you preaching?" "Your Highness, it is the doctrine of patience. My patience is not skin deep and is not on the outside of my body, but is deep in my heart. That is why you cannot see." The king then ordered the executioner to cut off the limbs of the Bodhisattva. Blood flowed continuously from his wounds. The king again asked what doctrine the ascetic was preaching, and the ascetic answered, "Your Highness, you suppose that the doctrine of patience is in my legs and hands, but it is not there. It is deep in my heart." The king was furious to hear the answer, and he ordered the executioner to cut off the Bodhisattva's nose and ears, and the whole body of the Bodhisattva was covered in blood. The king asked again, "What doctrine are you preaching?" The ascetic answered, "The doctrine of patience. Please do not imagine that my patience is in my nose and ears. It is deep down in my heart." The ruthless king then kicked the Bodhisattva exactly on the heart and left the Bodhisattva there. After the king left, the king's commander-in-chief cleaned the blood from the Bodhisattva's body and carefully bandaged his wounds. Knowing the Bodhisattva was a great man, he then saluted the Bodhisattva and said, "Venerable sir, If you are angry and have hatred in your heart, please do not be angry with the others, but be angry only with the foolish king who hurt you badly. The Bodhisattva answered, Long live the king! Even though he damaged my body badly, in my heart there is no place for anger and hatred. When the king was leaving the garden and was out of the Bodhisattva's sight, the mighty earth, unable to bear the greatness of the Bodhisattva's virtue, split open, and flames of fire from Avicii hell engulfed the king, and he sank into hell as a result of his evil deed. On the same day, the Bodhisattva passed away, and the people of the kingdom held a great funeral ceremony in his honor. The Bodhisattva's path was definitely a difficult one. Out of great compassion to help others and the suffering inherent in existence, he had to endure all kinds of pain and torture inflicted on him by ignorant beings until he perfected the perfection of patience. 7. The perfection of truthfulness, Satcha Parami. Characteristic, non-deceptiveness in speech. Function, to verify in accordance with fact. Manifestation, excellence. Proximate cause, honesty. The perfection of truthfulness is a lifelong practice of being open to truth for the benefit of others. Excerpts from the commentary of the Vinaya. Without truthfulness, virtue, etc., is impossible, and there can be no practice in accordance with one's vows. All evil states converge upon the transgression of truth. One who is not devoted to truth is unreliable, and his word cannot be accepted in the future. On the other hand, one devoted to truth secures the foundation of all noble qualities. With truthfulness as the foundation, he is capable of purifying and fulfilling all the requisites of enlightenment. Not deceived about the true nature of phenomena, he performs the functions of all the requisites of enlightenment and completes the practice of the Bodhisattva path. End of excerpts. The Bodhisattva only speaks true and honest words, and to him a promise is a promise. He was ready to sacrifice his life to fulfill his promise. Once, a man-eating king caught the Bodhisattva. The Bodhisattva asked the king to free him temporarily so that he could keep his promise to preach to a Brahmin. Once his task was done, he promised that he would come back. The man-eating king doubted that a man would keep his promise and disregard his life, but he let him go. The Bodhisattva did keep his promise and returned to the king once he had preached to the Brahmin. The king was very impressed by the Bodhisattva's courage and fearlessness of death. The Bodhisattva took this opportunity to preach the Dhamma to the king and convinced him of the evil consequences of eating human flesh. The king turned over a new leaf by renouncing his bad habit of eating human flesh. 8. The perfection of loving-kindness, Metta Parami. Characteristic, promoting the welfare of living beings. Function, to provide for their welfare or to remove resentment. Manifestation, kindliness. Proximate cause, seeing the agreeable side of beings. Loving-kindness is the strong wish for others to be happy. It is the attitude with which a Bodhisattva works to bring about the welfare and happiness of others, even when doing so requires self-sacrifice. Bodhisattvas never discriminate among beings, whether they are far or near, high or low, enemies or friends, humans or non-humans. They have the same, equal, loving-kindness towards all. In one life, the Bodhisattva was born as a prince named Dhammapala, guardian of the Dhamma. His mother, the queen, loved him very much. One day, when the queen was playing with the little prince, she was so attentive to her son that she did not notice the arrival of the king and neglected to stand up to welcome him. Because of this, the king became jealous and ill will arose, along with the desire to hurt his son. The queen, being a mother who was ready to protect her only child with her life, quickly asked for forgiveness and said, Your Highness, I am willing to have both my hands cut off, but please do not hurt our son. The king did not grant her request, and instead instructed the executioner to cut off the prince's hands and feet. The prince resolved, I have to be impartial and give the same and equal love to the king, who instructs his man to cut off my limbs, as to the queen, who loves me, as to the executioner who executes the king's order, and as to myself. The king did not stop there, but became more furious and instructed the executioner to cut off the prince's head. He then threw the body into the air and used a spear to skewer and spin the body, scattering blood and flesh everywhere. Witnessing this scene, the queen died of a broken heart on the spot. Even though the prince was ill-treated by his own father, this young bodhisattva could still practice his metta parami with equanimity. 9. The perfection of resolution, adhitana parami, characteristic, determining upon the requisites of enlightenment, function, to overcome their opposites, manifestation, unshakableness in that task, proxima cause, the requisites of enlightenment. Adhitana means resolution, being unshakable in doing good deeds for others. It can also denote the accumulation of good deeds for one's own enlightenment. Both need unshakable resolution. When the bodhisattva is determined to do something, he is not fearful and never gives up when faced with obstacles. In one of his previous lives, the bodhisattva was born as an ape. One day, a Brahmin, who was lost in the forest, fell down into a deep gorge and could not climb out. The ape decided to rescue him. He jumped into the gorge and held the Brahmin up. When they arrived at the top of the gorge safe and sound, the ape felt so tired that he lay down and slept. Seeing that the ape was sleeping, the shameless and ungrateful Brahmin thought of killing and eating the ape. Taking a big stone, he smashed the ape's head. Terribly hurt, the ape woke up and escaped into a tree. He was not upset with the evil act of the Brahmin, and still held the wholesome intention of helping the lost man find his way out of the forest. So, with blood dripping from his head wound, by jumping from one tree to another, he showed the Brahmin the way out of the forest. Due to the unbreakable and unshakable determination of the bodhisattva, he was able to walk this difficult path and accomplish his goal of supreme knowledge and full enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. 10. The perfection of equanimity, upeka parami, characteristic, promoting the aspect of neutrality, function, to see things impartially, manifestation, subsiding of attraction and repulsion, proximate cause, reflection upon the fact that all beings inherit the results of their own karma. Equanimity is evenness of mind towards all beings and all phenomena, remaining calm and unruffled toward both the pleasant and the unpleasant. Out of all the paramis, equanimity is the last in the sequence because it is the most difficult to perfect. The 8 worldly conditions, atta loka dhamma, always influence the emotions of ordinary people. Their emotions go up and down as conditions change. If the situation is agreeable, one can get butterflies in one's stomach and feel as if floating on air. On the other hand, if one meets difficulty, one is distressed and resorts to weeping and wailing. A person will not be his own master if external conditions can easily influence him. He will only be a slave to the external conditions. When the bodhisattva meets with any condition, whether it is good or bad, praise or blame, he meets it in a state of equanimity. He fully understands that the 8 worldly conditions are inconstant, stressful, and subject to change because they are conditionally produced. The bodhisattva developed the perfection of equanimity to the highest degree during his life as the wise Lomahamsa. At that time, the bodhisattva was born into a wealthy family. After his parents died, he became disenchanted with worldly conditions. Spiritually moved by the impermanence of life, he reflected on the foulness of the body, both internally and externally, after which he decided to give away all his wealth and start to live as an ascetic. He told himself, "I am a person with a good reputation. If I live as a monk, then people will honor me even more than before." Monks easily receive praise because of the excellence and purity of monkhood. However, the bodhisattva rejected the gain and honor he would have received as a monk. He lived as a wandering ascetic without shaving his head, let his hair grow long, begged for food everywhere, and was patient with scornful people. He did so to perfect his equanimity. The bodhisattva wandered through small towns and big cities. If he arrived in a place and was scorned by the people, he would stay longer. Once, he wandered to a small town where there was a group of boys who played mean tricks on people for their amusement. So the bodhisattva decided to stay there to perfect his practice of equanimity. He went to the graveyard where he slept, using a bone as a pillow. The naughty boys followed him to the graveyard and played tricks on him, spitting on him, urinating on him, and so on. However, there was no aversion at all in the bodhisattva's mind. you remain steady and equanimous. There were also some learned men who knew that the Bodhisattva was a great practitioner. They thought he was a man with supernormal powers, and they offered him the highest honors. But the Bodhisattva did not feel elated because of this. He received these honors with even-mindedness. His mind was balanced and even, both toward the naughty boys and toward the wise men. He was not pleased because of gaining high honor, nor was he displeased because of being badly treated by the naughty boys. The Bodhisattva faced the two conditions with a mind of equanimity. That is how the Bodhisattva practiced to accomplish his 10 perfections in order to become a Buddha. Come and gone rightly. The Bodhisattva struggled hard on his long path of perfection and endured much suffering that was beyond the tolerance of ordinary people. He gave away or sacrificed what could not be sacrificed by ordinary people, practiced what could not be practiced by ordinary people, and finally, after 4 incalculable aeons and 100,000 great aeons, the Bodhisattva gained his sublime goal, full enlightenment, the completion of all knowledge. The Bodhisattva's sacrifices and perseverance were not for his own grandeur and benefit. It was for the sake of all beings to help guide them across the dangerous, swirling oceans of samsara, so that they may reach the farther shore safe and sound. The Bodhisattva brought this noble aim and hope to this suffering world. Therefore, he has come rightly, that is, for the sake of the joy and happiness of all beings. Sugato, gone rightly, indicates that, treading the right path, the Buddha has gone to an excellent destination, Nibbana. The right path is the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the only path leading to Nibbana. The right path also means to cut off the kilesas, mental defilements, or fetters, and never again give rise to those defilements or fetters that have been abandoned, as is recorded in the great commentary Maha Attakatha, Sotapatti Magga. The path of the stream enterer cuts off the coarsest 3 fetters of identity view, doubt, and adherence to rules and rituals, and they never arise again. Thus, it is gone rightly. Sakadamagi Magga, the path of the once returner, has attenuated the grosser forms of lust, hate, and delusion. Thus, it is gone rightly. Anagami Magga, the path of the non-returner, cuts off the 2 fetters of sensual lust and ill will, and they never arise again. Thus, it is gone rightly. Arahatta Magga, the path of arahatship, cuts off the remaining 5 fetters of desire for fine material existence, desire for immaterial existence, conceit, restlessness, and ignorance, and they never arise again. Thus, it is gone rightly. The Buddha has rightly gone without returning to the defilements that were abandoned by each path. Thus, it is gone rightly. Sugato also means speaking rightly. The Buddha is a well-spoken one. He only speaks true words, connected with good, at the right place and at the right time. Thus speaking rightly is Sugato. It is said, quote, such speech as the perfect one knows to be untrue and not factual, unbeneficial and displeasing and disagreeable to others, that he does not speak. End quote. Examples of this are telling lies, slandering, using harsh words, gossiping, and so on. Quote, in the case of words that the Tathagata knows to be untrue and not factual and unbeneficial, yet are pleasing and agreeable to others, he does not say them. End quote. This includes what we stated in the first point about the 4 unwholesome forms of speech, that is lying, slandering, using harsh words, and gossiping. Quote, in the case of words that the Tathagata knows to be true and factual, yet are unbeneficial, displeasing, and disagreeable to others, he does not say them. End quote. An example of this is the talk to King Ajatasattu. Tempted by Devadatta, King Ajatasattu killed his father. Later, he was filled with great remorse. It was said that from the day of his father's death, he could not sleep on account to terrifying dreams. But due to shame, he refrained from visiting the Buddha until he was persuaded by his physician, Jivaka. When he did go to see the Buddha, it was with great fear and trembling. The Blessed One greeted the king cordially on his arrival and did not say anything about the bad deed of killing his father, because it wasn't beneficial to the king. It would only have made him more regretful. Instead, the Blessed One expounded the Samanapala Sutta to him in order to encourage him. Henceforth, the king became a loyal follower of the Buddha. Quote, in the case of words that the Tathagata knows to be true and factual, unbeneficial yet are pleasing and agreeable to others, he does not say them. End quote. An example of this is celebrity fashion news coverage, which, even though it is accurately covered, is unbeneficial to anyone's spiritual development. However, such news is so pleasing and agreeable to others that fashionable items will completely sell out when famous celebrity style setters are seen wearing them. Quote, in the case of words that the Tathagata knows to be true, factual, and beneficial, yet are displeasing and disagreeable to others, he has a sense of the proper time for saying them. End quote. An example of this is the case of the daughter of Magandia. Magandia had a very beautiful daughter. Many men of high station sought her hand, but were rejected, as the Brahmin did not consider them worthy. The Buddha, one day, became aware that both Magandia and his wife were ready for Dhamma. All that was needed was one statement from him to open their eyes to the truth, so he visited their village. Magandia saw him and was impressed by the auspicious marks on the Buddha's body. He told him of his intention to offer him his daughter and begged him to wait until she could be brought. The Buddha said nothing, and Magandia went home and returned with his wife and daughter arrayed in all splendors. On arriving, they found the Buddha had gone, but left behind his footprint. Magandia's wife, skilled in reading signs, said that the owner of such a footprint was free from all passion. He would not be interested in women. But Magandia paid no attention and, going a little way, saw the Buddha and offered him his daughter. The Buddha turned down the offer, explaining how he had given up his beautiful wife and household life with all its enjoyments, and how he could not be tempted by even the beautiful daughters of Mara. He said that, however beautiful the body may be, it is still full of impurities. At the end of the discourse, Magandia and his wife became non-returners. What the Buddha said was true and beneficial to Magandia. Nevertheless, the daughter of Magandia found it displeasing. She thought the Buddha was insulting her beauty, and she vowed to take revenge. Quote, in the case of words that the Tathagata knows to be true, factual, beneficial, and are pleasing and agreeable to others, he has a sense of the proper time for saying them. End quote. Examples would be the talk on the Four Noble Truths, the law of Kama, and the bliss of freedom from samsara. Such talk is highly agreeable to those who suffer from the loss of family members and who are afflicted by severe illness. Once in Rajagaha, a young bhikkhu fell in love with a beautiful courtesan named Sirama. When Sirama died, the Buddha asked the king to keep her dead body in the cemetery and protect it from wild animals. After 4 days, the corpse of Sirama started rotting and bloating, and many worms and maggots crawled on it. The next day, the Buddha and his disciples went to the cemetery and asked the king to announce an auction, starting at 1,000 gold coins. Whoever won the auction was entitled to stay one night with Sirama. Even though the auction price was reduced lower and lower, until it was free of charge, no one was eager to stay with her. The Buddha then said, quote, behold this beautiful body. It is nothing but a heap of rotten flesh, which are supported by the skeleton, fragile and full of disease, the subject of desire. The body is indeed infirm, easily decayed, and impermanent. End quote. Dhammapada 147. After listening to the preaching of the Buddha, the bhikkhu who was in love with the beautiful Sirama was awakened. His knowledge of the absolute meaning of life arose, and he reached the fruition of stream entry. The Buddha only speaks true words, connected with good, at the right place and at the right time. Thus he is well-spoken, or sugato. When recollecting the supreme qualities of the Buddha, we should bear the meanings clearly in our minds. End of chapter.